Father, I thank you for your holy word that you have given to us. God, missions is a part of your heart that you desire to see everyone come to know you, know who you are. The gospel is universal, meaning that you desire for us to spread the gospel throughout the entire world. And missions is the way by which you accomplish that, that you call us to join you at work, and you call us to go out and share the glorious gospel. God, we see that Jesus Christ himself, his last command was for us to make disciples, for us to go throughout all the nations. So let Jesus' last command be our first concern. Let us be excited about missions, excited about evangelism, excited about the gospel being spread throughout. Teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not. And give us what we do not have. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The title of this sermon is A Healthy Church is Missions Minded. A Healthy Church is Missions Minded. John Piper, in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, which is an exposition of Psalm 67, states, worship, therefore, is the fuel and goal in missions. The goal in missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God. I think what Piper is really saying, in other words, the goal of missions and evangelism is to see people come to know God and find joy in God. So every time we share the gospel, we want people to come and know this. Last week, Tuesday, the staff in your council, we met up and we were talking about what is the mission statement of the church, of this church? What is the vision of this church? What is the core values of this church? And I want you to be so happy and to know that one of the core values of this church is missions minded. That we as a church, we as a staff, we as a council, we are saying that we want this church to be missions minded. And I firmly believe that the way we do this is when we have an exalted view of God, then that will stimulate in our hearts to do great things for God. Don't miss this. An exalted view of God stimulate in our hearts to do great things for God. And at the heart of doing great things for God is reaching the nations, is going out and seeing people come to know this great God that we serve and love. So if you're a Christian this morning and you say you have a healthy, vibrant relationship with Jesus, then missions is a way to tell if you have this. Are you praying for the nations? Are you praying for people groups to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are you even praying for people around you to know Jesus? There is no way possible that you can be close to Jesus and not desire for people to know Jesus. You get this. And Psalm 67 inspires this kind of passion. It does. It's a holy zeal that we are designed to see the unconverted come to know Jesus Christ, to know Yahweh. Psalm 67 is a missionary psalm, a missionary psalm. The psalm speaks of the universal spread of the knowledge of God. It desires for everyone to know this great Yahweh, the great God of the Israelites. See how Psalm 67 defines God. For example, it says that God is gracious. He is gracious in verse 1. He blesses in verses 1, 6, and 7. He makes his face shine upon us in verse 1. He has power to save in verse 2. He judges with equity. By equity, he means justice and fairness. In verse 4, he guides in verse 4. The psalm wants us to see who God is, but then it also explains the response. After we get to know who God is, there is a response. And if you notice in your own Bible, he mentions the word peoples. The word peoples is mentioned 5 times in this psalm. And the word nation is mentioned three times in this psalm. People and nations, it's the same thing. But to help you understand peoples, he means clan, people groups, right? So people groups all over the world. So what's the response of the nations to this great God? See in the psalm, one, they will praise God. What a great truth. When you know this great God, you will praise him. That's the correct and appropriate response to this great God. That's why we desire to share his name to all the nations, to praise him, verse 3 and 5. They will be glad, in verse 4. They will sing for joy, in verse 4. They will fear him, in verse 7. Brothers and sisters, this psalm desires for us to spread the glorious name of God throughout all the nations. May the purpose of this psalm be the purpose of our lives. Don't miss this. This great psalm should compel our hearts to behold the glory of God and to share that glory to everyone and to every people group. So this morning, very briefly, if you're taking notes, you can go ahead and write this down. I want to lead you in this text. So today I want us to see 2 points in this sermon. 2 points. One, God blesses his people in verse 1. Now, by people, I am not meaning peoples. Peoples are clans and different people group. By people, I mean those who have given their life to Jesus Christ. Those who have given their life to Yahweh. Followers, believers. So God blesses his people. So if you're a Christian today, this promise is for you. God will bless you, a believer. God blesses his people. 2, God blesses his people so that they might be a blessing to the nations, to all nations. God blesses his people for the reason that they will go out and bless the nations. My prayer is that you are ready. Let's grab hold of your Bible. If you're taking notes, grab hold of your pen and paper. Most importantly, grab hold of the Holy Spirit to help you understand the glorious truth within this passage of Scripture. Point one, God blesses his people. Wow. I could just stop and just think about this. God blesses his people. Notice what he does in verse 1. In verse 1, the psalmist begins by saying, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Very briefly, to help you understand what the psalmist is doing, this is the language from the Aaronic blessing. Now, the Aaronic blessing comes from Aaron, who was the brother of Moses. And God called Aaron to be with Moses. And Aaron was called to be a mediator for God and God's people. He was a priest. And we find in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Aaronic blessing. And this is what the psalmist is doing. The psalmist is reflecting, contemplating on the Aaronic blessing, and then he is restating that in Psalm 67. So let's look in your own Bible, the Aaronic blessing. Let's compare what the psalmist is saying to that of the Aaronic blessing. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Okay? Now, here is the difference between the Aaronic blessing and the psalmist's prayer. What the psalmist does, he turns this blessing into a promise. So instead of him saying, the Lord bless you, he states, the Lord bless us. Do you get it? He turns the promise or the blessing, and he turns that into this great desire to even pray more. And this is what we should do with promises in the Bible. We turn those promises into a prayer. if God says he will never leave us and forsake us, we turn that promise into a prayer. And this is what the psalmist does. He turns that into a prayer as he begins to think about God. Now he says, the Lord shine his face upon you, and he is gracious to you. Now, the phrase shine your face upon you basically means to give you favor. It means to love on you, to bless you. It is the opposite of turning your face from someone in Scripture. When Scripture says that God turns his face from you, that implies that God is not blessing you. God does not favor you. But in this particular text, it says that God favors you. Now, let's think about this very carefully. What is the psalmist really alluding to? Is he alluding to materialistic blessing, or is he alluding to spiritual blessing? Let's ask, what kind of blessing does God bless us with? Now, very carefully, very quickly, let me help you understand this. I believe it's both, but primarily the psalmist is talking about spiritual blessing. Well, why do you think it's materialistic blessing? Well, notice in your own Bible, when he talks about the earth in verse 6, he says this, the earth has yielded its increase. So even in the Aaronic blessing, we can understand that there is physical blessing, materialistic blessing as well. But primarily, the psalmist has in mind this spiritual blessing that God shines upon his people. That he blesses them with his knowledge. He blesses them with understanding of him. That's the greatest blessing that we can ever desire from this great Messiah himself. Listen, yes, God can bless you with a nice house, and God can bless you with a nice car, and God can bless you with physical and materialistic things. But the greatest blessing we want from God is to know him, is to grow in that knowledge of him. And that's primarily what's being stated in this. Notice what James Montgomery Boyce stated. He said, if spiritual blessings, which is to know God, does not lie at the base of all our blessings, including the possession of material things and of a happy life, then these other blessings are hollow and may even be dangerous deception and snare. Brothers and sisters, in other words, knowing God and being favored by God is the greatest blessing anyone can ever have in this world and in the one to come. Do you get that? Let me explain this to you. Let's think about this world that we're living in today. That we desire to know God and we desire to exalt God. But think about this. If we're living in this world and we don't know facts about God, how cruel would that be? Example, what if we take a tribesman from the Amazon jungle? We grab him, we place him in New Orleans, and we say to him, fend for himself. There are multiple problems. One, he doesn't know how to speak English. Two, he knows nothing about New Orleans. Three, he will not know how to fend for himself. How cruel would that be for us to take a tribesman from the Amazon jungle, place him in New Orleans, and say, fend for yourself? In the same way, brothers and sisters, it is cruel for us to think that we can live in this world where God rules and reigns and know nothing about this great God. In the same way, we must know about this great and amazing God, so that we can get into a relationship. Maybe this morning, some of you are in this place today, and you're saying, man, I don't care about this God. I'm here because my wife asked me to come, or my girlfriend asked me to come. I'm an atheist, or I'm an agnostic, or I don't care about this God that you guys are serving. You know how cruel it is, man? Do you know that he created this world? And you're living in his world and you know nothing about him. But let's stop one second. We can have facts about God, but those facts must be transferred into knowing God himself. All right, listen very carefully. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Don't miss this. Facts about God, where he's a good God, he created a world. That's good. It's good. But you have to move past just facts about him to knowing him personally and intimately, because that's his ultimate purpose. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be in an intimate relationship with him. I love this because this great man, great author by the name of J.I. Packer, and he passed away. He wrote one of the greatest book I've ever read. It's just incredible. It's Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And in that book, he shares with us the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And this is what J.I. Packer said. He said, the rule for doing this, which is transferring from facts about God to knowing God, the rule for doing this is simple but demanding. It is that we turn each truth that we learn about God into matter for meditation before God, leading to prayer and praise to God. Where are you this morning? Do you just have facts about him? Or do you know him? Are you in a personal relationship with him? Because this is the beautiful thing that the psalmist is saying. This relationship with God. So let me help you out as we move on to the second point. So what is the purpose of God's blessing his people? What is the purpose of him blessing his people? Okay, so I see, Kevin, that God blesses us. Yes, he blesses us physically, but primarily he blesses us spiritually. Why? What's the reason for this? I think the second point answers this question for us. Second point, God blesses his people so that for the reason that we might be a blessing to the nation. He blesses us so that we can bless the nations. Everything that you have today, everything physically, financially, spiritually that you have, and you could turn to this great God in your prayer, and you should, and you say, thank you, God, for what you have given me. You should. And don't stop right there. Remember, the reason why he has blessed you is that you will be a blessing to others, to the nations. So are you doing this? Are we doing this? Are we blessing others because God has blessed us? Notice with me what the text mentions. So the main point in this text, in verse 2, there is a linking word in verse 2 and verse 1 and verse 2, and it's found in the demonstrative pronoun that. So if you're reading in your English Bible, look down and see for yourself what he says. Okay? So in verse 2, verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that's the word, that, the demonstrative pronoun, that your way may be known on the earth, which is incredible. Notice as well, in your English Bible, there is a word mentioned. It's the word Selah. You see it? What is the word Selah? Well, it was used in the Hebrew language as a musical term, because the psalm is music and hymns and songs that were sung. So the word Selah is a musical term that means to stop, to think, and to ponder. So what the text is saying is this. Think about God, you have blessed me. You've caused your face to shine upon me. Pause. Think about that. Ponder God's blessing upon your life. This is a pause, not a period. Pause. And then after you are done pausing, move on. This is an incomplete sentence. Let's finish the sentence. God, you bless me so that I can be a blessing to others. This is what the psalmist wants us to see in this great text. Listen, God did not bless us so that we can sit on this great blessing that he has given us. No, God has blessed us so that we can go out and share Christ even more fervently. I don't want you to miss this. As we know God more deeply, We will desire to share God universally. As we know him deeply, our desire is to spread his name in all of the nations. I believe that we are one of the blessed people in the world. Take it from me, a guy from St. Lucia in the Caribbean. My toys, I had a toy car that my dad had to make for me, my stepdad, out of wood. It was the only toy car I had growing up as a little boy. And as I got a little older, we got some more toys from America. So we used to build those toys out of wood. We would put a stick in it and we'd drive around. And one of the other toys that we would have is that we would have this tire, a used tire, and we would put some oil in the tire, put two sticks, and we would run around. That would be like our little motorbike, right? And that's the toy that we had growing up. But I see my sons, and for Christmas, they get all kinds of stuff beyond stuff and stuff and stuff. And yet we complain. But God has blessed us in many ways. But notice how this blessing is meant to be a blessing to others. That's the theme of the Bible. You don't believe me? Let's see for yourself. In Genesis, when God made this covenant with Abraham, notice what he says to him. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from the country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. God is blessing Abraham. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that, don't miss this, so that you will be a blessing to others. God is blessing Abraham so that Abraham will be a blessing. Isaiah 49, verse 6, it says this, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserve of Israel. I will make of you as a light for the nation so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. God's blessing them so that they will be a blessing to others. Okay, well, Kevin, this is an Old Testament principle. Where is this mentioned in the New Testament? I'm glad you're asking this. Let's look at it. All right. New Testament. Again, it talks about this. A perfect example. Jesus blessed us. He resurrected. He saved us. He saved his disciples. And notice what he says in the end of Mark. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go in all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole nation. They were blessed. And therefore, Jesus is saying, go be a blessing to others. You still don't get this. You need more information. Let's go. One more. Let's look at it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Galatians 1, 15 to 16. It says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me. What a great blessing. Why? In order, or so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with anyone. In the last book, the book of Revelation, said exactly the same thing. Do you get it? Do you get the theme of the Bible? Do you see it? The scarlet thread that runs through the Bible. God blesses so that we can be a blessing to others. Now, let's just wait, Jason. Let's stop. Luke, let's stop. Let's ask this question. You mean to tell me that God blessing me, he had an ulterior motive in blessing me? Right? Have you asked this question? You are not ultimately thinking of me. So you gave me these things, but you're thinking about others? And we live in a selfie world, right? Where it's all about us. So if you're saying you're making much of me, just make much of me and no one else. Brothers and sisters, this is good news. Yes, he had an ulterior motive, and praise God for that. Praise God, and I am not at the center of what he wants to do. Praise God, he chooses to bless me and bless the nations through using me as well. Praise God for that. That's great truth that we have. John Piper mentions on this very aspect. This is what he says. He says, when we ask for God's blessing on us for the sake of the nations, we are also asking for our joy to be full. God, you are inviting me to be to be at work, right? The experiencing God principle. God invites us to work with him. And this is one of the ways that he does it. He tells us, come fish with him. So he blesses us and he asks us to go out and bless others. So brothers and sisters, let's think about this very carefully. And I want you to get this. I mentioned to you, we are so blessed materialistically as well as spiritually. Spiritually, think about this. We have a plethora of churches. Just in Canal Boulevard, there are churches all over the place. We have like four churches behind this one church. There are churches everywhere in the U.S. We can go on the web and listen to, but there are so many people who have never heard of the gospel. What are we doing? How are we praying for them? What a good truth that we have. You know, what's funny about this, brothers and sisters, and I want to take this home. I want to personalize this. I want you to see my own struggle. A few months ago, I had a good friend of mine who called me, who is a missionary in Africa, and he called just to check on me. He said, Kevin, I thought of you. I haven't spoken to you in a while, and I just want to check on you, see how you're doing. I was praying for you. The Lord laid you in my heart. He was asking me what's going on. I shared with him the transition that I have to do, how tough it is, my life, how tough it is. And he was just listening. And afterwards, I said, what about you, man? How are you doing? And he said to me, man, it's rough. It's tough. Several years ago, in 2009, I went on a mission trip to Kenya, Africa, and I met this guy. He was with me. And we learn about the people in Kenya, the Kenyans, the population, more than half of the population of Kenya are children 14 years and younger. Reason why is because the parents, they get AIDS, they drop the kids off, and they go off and die. And we learn about this. So he set up 15 orphanages in Kenya. He took his family. After we went in 2009, he decided this is what God is calling him to do. He took his family, went down, and he's doing mission work there. His name is JT, and I have a picture of his wife as well and his daughter. And I'm listening to him, and he said, you know what, man, one of the things we're struggling with, but I trust in God's sovereignty, he said, one of the guys who was over the orphanage that we had, he was molesting the children there. And I had him fired, and he got arrested, and someone bailed him out. And then when he was released, he hired a hitman to come kill JT and his family. He said, it's nothing much, but I trust God. And I'm thinking, and you call to pray for me? Dude, you forgot where I'm at? I'm in America, dude. I'm fine. Like, you called, the Lord placed me in your heart to pray for me, and it hit me. It hit me. I'll never forget this. And I wept, and I said, God, help me through me just being so focused on your blessings, but yet not giving it out. And I got it. And I said, JT, please pray for me. Pray for me, brother. You are fine. Pray for me. Pray for me that I would not make idols out of the blessings that God has given me, even my family and what I have. Pray for me. And while you're at it, pray for us. Pray for all of us in America. Pray that we won't worship those blessings that God gives us. Pray, JT. And brothers and sisters, I'll be honest with you. This is what we have to come to a place of, like the psalmist, is understanding how we can pray for the nations and how we can be involved in missions. Notice with me very briefly. In the text, I want you to see four things that God desires to see from the nations. Four things that he desires to see from the nations. You can see this in verses 2 through 7. Another way, let me make this a lot more practical. What are four things that are four goals of missions and evangelism? What are four goals of missions and evangelism? So when we go out and share the glorious name of Jesus Christ, what are four goals that we want to accomplish? One, God desires to see the nations know him. This is the goal of missions and evangelism. We want to share with people about the knowledge of God. Who is this great God? God desires that people will come into a personal relationship with him. Brothers and sisters, think about it. God created every single person. And every one of them, they're made in the image of God. They have the imago Dei of God. In other words, they also have a sense of who God is, a sense of him, a sense of belonging. John Calvin called this sensus divinitatis. And what he means by this is basically that the moment we are born, we know that there is something out there. Just like a baby, when a baby is born, the baby eyes is not even open, but the baby, the moment they place that baby in the arms of the mom, the baby knows, this is mama. In the same way, people know that there is something out there. So the tribesmen might turn to nature to worship that. Or the people in Africa might turn to spirits. Or others might turn to other things. But what God really wants from people is to know who he really is. So when we go to Africa and we see people praising nature or spirits, we can say to them like Paul did, this is the true God. Turn to him, Jesus Christ. That's God's greatest purpose. He wants people to know him. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 15, it says this, how then will they come on him, call on him, in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him, in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. John Stott stated this. He said, the great hindrance of evangelism in the church. I'm sorry, let's read this again. A great hindrance to evangelism is the church's failure to give evidence of the power of God in each individual and in her corporate life. We want to make a difference. Let people see how much we love Jesus, and we want them to know Jesus. Notice the second thing I want you to see, second goal of missions and evangelism. God desires to see the nation praise him. Do you see it in your own Bible? It's mentioned twice in the text. Let the people praise you, O Lord. Let all the people praise you. God desires to see people come and make much of his name. Let's go back to the man in the middle of the Amazon jungle. Like, God desires for him to praise him, to worship him. And when people don't know God, we find they don't have true joy. And that's our desire. Every day when we wake up, let's pray for the nations and the people group. They will know this great God. Notice with me as well. Third, he desires to see the nation enjoy him. Wow. Where are you getting this from, Kevin? See for yourself in verse 4. In verse 4, notice what he says. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why are they happy? The text says, because of the justice of God. See for yourself. For you judge the peoples with equity, with fairness and justice. So they're praising God because he's upright, and he is just, and he is fair. But they're also praising God because he guides, see for yourself, and guides the nation upon the earth. That's the great God that we serve. They find joy in God because he is a just and fair God, a faithful God, but he is also a God who guides his people. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior and you're looking for guidance, get into that relationship with him and he will guide you through his word. That's why they're so happy. They find joy in that. And finally, see for yourself. He desires for the nations to fear him. Four goals of mission. The last one we see, he desires for the nation to fear him. See what the text mentions at the end. It says this in verse 5, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. You see in your own Bibles. What is fear? Fear of God basically means that they have reverence in our hearts for God. So one of God's greatest joy is to see the nations fearing him, have reverence in their hearts for him, respecting him, worshiping him, exalting him. Well, how will this happen? Well, God is sovereign. God could use a donkey if he wants to accomplish his great purpose. God could use the birds to go to Africa and spread the glorious news of Jesus Christ. God could even cause the rocks to cry out and preach the glorious gospel. But he chooses not to. And I thank him for that. He is choosing to use you. He's choosing to use me. He's choosing to use us to be a part of this global missions. My prayer is for all of us that the purpose of this psalm will be the purpose of our lives. But how can you be more missions-minded? Several ways that you can. Every time that you notice your blessings and you thank God, don't stop right there. Finish it. God, you have blessed me so that I can be a blessing to the nations. And ask yourself this. How are you fulfilling that? There are several ways that you can. Pray for the unreached people groups all over the world. Pray for missionaries. If you don't know a missionary, go on the IMB mission website and find some missionaries that you can pray for on a daily basis. Pray for unreached people groups and nations that you know specifically have never heard of the gospel. And even in your own community, what you can do is share the gospel with people on a consistent basis. My prayer is, brothers and sisters, that you would respond to God's word, that you will see what God is saying in this text, and you will respond appropriately. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for Psalm 67 that you have given us, Father. A great psalm that talks about what it means to worship you, to praise you, to exalt you. A great psalm that talks about what true missions is, Father. We shouldn't feel guilty because of the blessings that we have. Nevertheless, God, we should use those blessings to bless others. We should cry out for the nations, for the different people groups, Father. I thank you, God, that we are designed to be missions-minded. Lead us, guide us, in your mighty and precious name. Amen. Please stand. At this time, I would like for you to respond to God's word. There are multiple ways that you can do this. If you feel God is speaking to your heart and you just want to come to the altar and pray, go ahead and do that. If you want to grab someone's hand and pray with them, go ahead and do that as well. I want you to respond to God's word. Let us think about Psalm 67, how it applies to our lives, and let's make the adjustments that we need to make. Amen? Let's go ahead and do that.